Welcome back to the Decades of Strength podcast. Today, Sam, Nicole, and I talk all about what we wish we knew when we first started on our health and fitness journeys. Now, for some of us, me, that was a really long time ago, and I have made plenty of mistakes over the years. All three of us pull out the biggest ones, and we talk about what we wish we knew then that we know now. Obviously, you get to make your own mistakes, but sometimes it really helps to hear about what other people did wrong. It can help you think like, am I doing this the way I want to do it? So I hope you like it. Give it a listen and let us know.
Welcome back to another episode of the Decades of Strength podcast. I am your host, Sam Altieri, and we have Nicole Gorette and Kim Schlag on today's episode. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Okay. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Yeah?
Doing good. Life is good.
Life is good. Well, that's always a good thing to hear. Today, I thought that we could talk about some things that we thought or that we wish we knew when we started. I know personally for me, I made a lot of mistakes, and I'm sure you guys did too, which is probably part of the reason why we're coaches now, to help everyone yeah. else not make those mistakes, or at least, you know, bypass a lot of the time that we spent in those mistakes.
Yeah.
I wanted to kind of just like dive in and share some of those with our audience, so hopefully we can help them. And so why don't we can kind of like start off with the one that maybe held us back the most, and we can kind of like go in rotation and sharing them. Cool. So who wants to go first? Kim, Nicole, me, you?
Cool. I'll go.
All right, cool.
So mine is a very typical one. And that is that thinking cardio was the answer to all of my problems. You know, I was young. The very first time I remember like actively trying to lose weight, I was like 20, maybe 19. And it's interesting now. When I look back, I'm like, I looked perfectly fine. What I really needed to do was lift some weights. And I didn't know what I wanted to do. I just knew like, I didn't like the way my body looked. And I thought what I needed to do was do lots and lots of cardio. And I paid zero attention to my nutrition, like zero. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. You know, like I never looked any different. I never changed my food. I never lifted weights. I would just like walk and walk and walk and walk and attempt being a runner, and never got any good at it. And, you know, just spun my wheels for a very long time.
Yeah. And so when did that change for you? Like, when did you realize that that was something that was holding you back?
A very long time. So I was like 19 or 20, and I didn't make a switch in that way of thinking. I made so many other mistakes in the meantime. Till I was like 43.
Wow. Amazing. So
that's a really long time, right?
Yeah.
So for all that time, one of the things that was going on in my head was that I thought that cardio was the way I would lose weight. And I just never really, like, I think part of it was like, I knew nutrition was somewhere going to play a role there, but I didn't really want to admit it, or I would haphazardly go about it. You know?
Yeah.
Just because it's the hard part. It's the hard part. You know, nutrition is the hard part. And I didn't understand that I and you know, now you hear it all the time, like you can't out exercise a bad diet, but I totally thought I could, for sure thought I could. And I would be mad when I didn't. I'd be like, you know, like I went for this like 3-hour walk and did all this crazy stuff, you know, was sweating all over and, you know, never looked different. But, you know, I had a bag of cookies and a box of noodle rooney. and that was just one of the meals I had that day. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Oh, yeah.
Pop-Tarts.
Pop-Tarts. I know. Something that's so high calorie for so little food.
Exactly. Exactly. They're kind of tasty, but.
Well, that's a good one, I think, for me, too. I mean, I'm definitely there. I thought cardio was it. I was like, yeah, let me just burn as many calories as possible and, like, beat myself up on the treadmill or even the Stairmaster, like, holy shit, who actually likes the Stairmaster, you know? But I thought that's what I had to do, and I felt like I was, like, kind of punishing myself, like, right, well, I guess I have to go through this, like, fiery hell to get the body I want.
Right, yeah, I for sure thought that. I absolutely thought I needed to work harder. I wasn't working hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't burn enough calories. How can I burn more? I was obsessed with figuring out how to burn more calories.
Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Nicole? Is that something that resonates with you?
Oh yeah, I mean, for me, I always thought if you wanted to have abs, then you had to be a runner, and if you wanted to be lean, you had to be a runner. And so, I made myself a runner, and I did not get abs. So that kind of stunk.
Did you ever fall in love with running? Was it ever like, okay, I actually like this?
You know what? I would get the runner's high, and I don't know that I fell in love with running. I fell in love with being bad at something and wanting to get better at it. So just having that goal of, okay, I really suck at this. Like, I remember the first time I ran a mile without stopping on the treadmill was like the happiest day of my life.
That's amazing.
I just always struggle with breathing and cramps with breathing and running. And so when I did that, I just remember being like, that was awesome. And I'm going to keep going. And so I did. And, I liked running 5Ks and stuff. Like, I could, you know, short distances were good. Long distances, you know, were still a struggle for me. But, yeah, I just fell in love with, you know, trying to get better at something.
I love that.
I do, too.
I've never heard of it like that. But I think it's like when you have a goal in mind and you – even if you don't really have – like, you had the outcome, which – wasn't really tied to that goal, actually, but
yeah,
I mean, you know, you didn't know that at the time, but it does feel good, like, seeing yourself improve.
Yeah, I mean, I read all the running books. I had a subscription to Runner's World that I would read. I, like, would download the training calendars. Like, I was like, today's a long day, today's a short day, today we're working on splits, today we're working on sprints. Like, I got into it, like,
yeah.
And then I and this leads me to another mistake that kind of goes along with this, is that I hurt myself and I continued to run with an injury. And I think that is like such a huge mistake, that thinking it's just going to go away and that if I keep working out, it'll get better. And if I don't address it, then I think that's another huge mistake of mine.
Ooh, yeah. I've
been there.
Injuries are so hard. They're like, your ego gets in the way, you know?
Yes, your ego, 100%.
It's like, oh, but I'm like, you know, I can do this, like, I'm better than the injury. Like, nope, you're not. you're actually just going to hurt yourself more.
That's true. How about you, Sam?
My biggest thing, I think for me, it was feeling like I just had to keep doing more rather than doing it like better, like whether that be with eating or with working out or with running or with lifting, like my mindset was not like in a healthy place, I guess. It was more like, oh, like I just need to keep lifting heavier, like even if it hurt, even if it didn't feel like it was, even if, you know, just my body was telling me no, it's like, yeah, but I have to keep pushing myself. And I think, like, just ignoring my intuition, like, 100%, you know, and just being like, nope, but I have to keep going. I have to do more. It's never enough. So that feeling of always chasing, like, more, and that, I know, I guess it just kind of burns you out after a while.
Well, what got you past that?
Oh, God. I think one big thing was an injury. Mm-hmm. When I, like, the first time I had gotten into a bike accident, like, I had got hit by a car on my bike, I had that, and a week after, I pulled my back, like, my L4 and L5, I bulged my those two discs, and so, like, I couldn't do any lower body, I couldn't really do most things, actually, and, like, for me at that point, I think exercise was like a huge part of my identity and like working out. And I felt very lost because I lost the only thing that I felt like I was controlling, you know? And so once I realized like, oh shit, you know, like I actually just hurt myself and now I can't do anything. So I just had to focus on like getting better. And I hurt myself again because I didn't give myself enough time. Because I was just I just wanted to get back. I hurt myself the exact same thing on my birthday, like a few months later. And I did it again. I had to do it three times. I had to mess up three times to learn.
Wow.
Yeah. So I would say it takes me a while to learn things, but, you know, but I learned, I guess. And yeah, so I think getting injured three times in the same place, doing the same freaking thing, it's like, oh, wow.
Wait, what was the thing?
Squatting.
Oh, okay.
Like squatting and then deadlifting after and not, just not having the like best form, but not really realizing that. Cause I just, you know, when you don't know, you don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's just takes me a little while to learn, I guess.
Yeah. Well, we're all different that way. It's interesting. Do you think like, okay, I've done that once, maybe I won't do it again, but then you go and do it two times. And I think, I guess, like, I wonder, like, if people listening to this episode are going to be like, oh, I won't do that, or if they're going to need to go out and make their own mistake, too. You know what I mean? Because you made your own mistake three times.
Yeah, and I had a friend that was like, don't do that. You know, he literally told me, like, just stop being stupid. And I was like, I'm not being stupid. I'm great. Like, I can get through this. you know, like, I thought I was better than the injury, or I thought I was better than, like, the rest of the world. Like, which is so ridiculous to say. But... And, you know, like, not better in, like, a, oh, like, I'm better, but more like, oh, that's not going to happen to me, though, you know?
Yeah.
And feeling like you're
probably,
special.
It probably happens for us, like, all different ways for different things. My guess is that sometimes you have to learn stuff, like, on your own, maybe even multiple times screwing up. And other times it's enough to hear somebody say it. And for whatever reason, your life experience is like, oh, yeah, I totally get what they're saying. I won't make that mistake. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of different.
And like the magnitude of the thing, probably.
Yeah.
You know, like, okay, like probably don't try jumping out in front of a car. You know, like I'd probably listen to that, but like for something that seems a little bit less likely, like I might actually try.
you just made me spit out my seltzer all over my tongue. I was not expecting you to say that.
I'm glad I can provide quality entertainment.
I don't know what I thought you were going to say. Something, I don't know, maybe don't try. I don't know, something more reasonable. I was not expecting to jump out in front of a car.
Oh, God.
That burning sensation in the back of my throat will make me think of you all day.
Glad I could do that for you. Oh, God.
All right. So, all right, should we go around again?
Yeah. So, yeah, go ahead. Kim, you're next.
So, another... thing that I wish I had done differently, that I wish I knew then, was that I didn't practice my push-ups and pull-ups. I just tested them. Like, I would get so annoyed with myself. Every week I'd come back into the gym, or every couple of days, and like try and do some more push-ups and like look to see if I looked better, and they never did, because I was never practicing to get better at push-ups. I was literally repeating the same thing over and over.
Oh.
And I would do the same thing with pull-ups. I would, you know, like occasionally like try and get back up on the pull-up bar and be like, nope, still can't do a pull-up.
Yeah.
And I did both of those for a really long time. I got around to coming up with an actual push-up program and like finding one and working through it way before I finally did the same thing with pull-ups. But I think it's a really common thing that we're just like, nope, still can't do push-ups, when really we haven't, like, if you can't speak Chinese, you're not just gonna like every so often check and see if you know how. You're gonna like come up with a way to learn Chinese, right? And then you're gonna like work at it and practice, and then you'll see that you're getting better. But with push-ups and pull-ups, we just kind of like every so often test again and see like, yeah, can I do that?
Right.
Yeah. I did that for a long time.
Yeah. I think also that it's like kind of what you're telling yourself, right? Like, you're like, oh yeah, I'll just get better at those. But like, if you don't have the action plan, I guess, to get you there, which is what you're talking about, it's like, how can you expect to get better at them? Or if you're like, oh, like I'm just not meant to be good at them, or like, oh, I just can't do a pull up. It's like, well, have you actually tried to make a plan to get you closer to being able to do one?
Right. And somehow in my mind, just like showing up at the gym, I was going to somehow like, I don't know, sucking all the energy that made me be able to do pull-ups. You know, I could do other things, and I just kept thinking, like, one day I'll hop up there and it'll happen.
Yeah.
And it did happen, but it, you know, after a lot of concerted effort with an actual dedicated plan to get me to do pull-ups and to get me to do push-ups.
Yeah. I think that's actually an insane metaphor for, like, most things, actually, that we want in life, though. Like, we just, like, one day we're like, oh, like, that'll just happen, you know, later.
Or
we don't really think about things in terms of, like, reverse engineering, like working our way backwards from whatever we want. Just assume, absolutely, like, oh, one day we'll just, you know, oh, one day I'll have a house and kids. Like, oh, one day I'll, you know, it's like, no, actually, you need to go out and meet a mate. And then you need to, like, not a mate, but, you know, like, you need to meet someone. I don't know why I just went Australian, but. You know,
like, leave my house.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I'm not going to find my future boyfriend under my bed. You know, like, I need to go put in some effort.
If you do, you probably should pick him.
Yeah, I should probably just run away fast.
That's not the one for you.
Oh, God, that's so funny.
What do you think, Nicole?
No, I agree, because I do the same thing with pull-ups, where, like, I do work on them and have them in workouts, but I never, like, have a plan to get better, and I'm always just able to do two or three, and I'm always like, pull-ups suck, I'll never be good at them, I want to be good at them, but when it comes down to it, I have not, like, set out and put together a real plan and really focused on them.
Yeah.
I know that if I did, they would get better, but, you know, hashtag lazy, I guess. I don't know.
Or maybe that's just not your priority right now.
Yeah.
It's not my priority, but I feel as though it should. And
why?
Why? There's no should.
You know what? I think that's just like my current mentality right now is that I don't have the same motivation that I normally do right now for things, but I want to have it, but I don't. And I feel like it's right around the corner and I'm just so close. And I don't even know if I'm sounding like a normal person right now.
Or... No, that's like so normal. But why? Like, why do you think that is?
I don't know.
I know why.
I was about to say, I know.
What the hell? You're buying a house. Like, your life is like.
You work three jobs. Yeah. You have two kids and you're buying one house and selling another house. And you had 30 showings last week.
Yo, that's it. Give yourself a break.
Yeah, I think I have too much going on.
Maybe that could be.
Yeah.
And here I am beating myself up because I'm not, like, as motivated to do what I normally like to do, even though I know that it makes me happy. So I need to push myself more.
Yeah.
And push myself less on other stuff, the stuff that doesn't make me happy.
Yeah, or just, like, you know, maybe, like, I was just talking about this yesterday on my story, like, maybe right now is just not the best time for you to, like, get as strong as possible, get as lean as possible, like, you're living your life in other ways, you know, like, you're making improvements, not just in your physique, like, in, I don't know, you're, like, your family and your health and, like, other stuff. And
yeah,
like,
but I also ate half of a Funfetti cake yesterday. Like, that's...
I mean, Funfetti cake is really good, though.
I mean, at, like, one point, I was like, this frosting is so
good. Nicole, you don't have to be perfect at everything right now. So, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe now's not the time to focus on a dedicated pull-up program as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're saying that these are the things that make you happy. So find the piece of it that makes you happy and do some of that. You don't have to do all of it. You don't have to be balls to the wall right now. You can just, you know, maybe maintain your strength and rein in Funfetti cake and call it a win.
Yeah.
I also think that kind of brings me to my next point, which is relevant to you, Nicole. Like, not like talking about this stuff, right? Yes. Like, if you just keep it in your head, look, you're literally beating yourself up, getting stressed out about it and feeling like, fuck, I can't even do a pull-up, or like, I can't do more than whatever, three. When if you just said it out loud, like, look, you already probably just gave yourself permission to, like, chill out and not worry about pull-ups for the next, like, month. And that's something I did not do for the first, like, probably 4 years of my own working out. I didn't talk to anyone about it. Like, I was so isolated in my head, like, oh, I have to go do all this stuff. Like, oh my God, like, I suck. I didn't, you know, just really bad, like, just not talking to myself in a way that I would a friend. Just not just beating myself up a lot and like being like, well, I hold myself to a high standard. Yeah, okay, but like, you don't need to be a dick to yourself.
Yeah. My standard really right now for eating is just to not eat half a cake.
I think that's a good place to start.
There we go. And like, get to the gym 3 days a week. Like, that's it for me.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm setting the bar low so that I feel like I'm just kicking ass.
Well, that's equally as important, so you don't feel like, you know, a failure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't want to feel like a failure.
You're not a failure.
No, but it's interesting that comes up to what I'm not to jump ahead, but another big one for me, and it starts way back when I was a teenager and comes way up to modern times for me, is comparing myself to others. So Nicole, like, you're looking around and seeing everybody working out and getting their pull-ups and feeling like I'm so behind, you know, I'm getting further behind. And I think we all do that. You know, yeah. When I was 19, I happened to be in college with, I just happened to have roommates who were exceedingly thin. They weren't like anorexic or anything like that, but they weren't trying to be thin. They were just naturally tall and very thin. And here I was, this short little Italian girl with lots of curves. And it really bugged me. Like, and I compared myself to them nonstop. And like, we would try and share clothes and like, they would, you know, the pants wouldn't, they would be way too long and way too tight. And it really got in my head. And when I was first working out, I was on all these forums and like, I would see what other people can do. And I would hear what they did with the workouts that week. And it would be really hard for me to just accept like, hey, look, you lifted more. You had some progress. Cause I was too busy thinking about what, you know, Sally over there just lifted and I wasn't lifting it.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to compare to your own progress, not to someone else's. Like, it's apples and oranges.
Yeah.
But it's so hard. I mean, God, as much as we are coaches, like, it's freaking hard to not do that. Like, I don't know. Is it, like, in our human nature to just always be making comparisons? I don't know, but it's, like,
I don't know. It's certainly, most people I know do it until they start trying to actively not do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I think I have to work really hard to not compare myself. You know, like if you and I were lifting together, I feel like now I'm at a point that I'd be like, that's great. Look how strong Sam is. But not that long ago, I'd have probably been like, why am I not as strong as Sam? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
But I think we have to really work at that.
Right.
And, you know, being able to just focus on where we are versus where we want to be versus where we were.
Yeah. I think part of it comes from like building enough confidence, right? Like within ourselves to know that that's actually not relevant. And then also like removing some of the, removing some of the negative influences in our life, like whether they be people in real life or just people we follow on social media that don't make us feel good. I just went through a little purge myself of people I used to follow and look up to. And now I'm like, actually their message is shit. And they just aren't really like who I want to be listening to words from. And even just that little cleanup actually kind of made me feel like lighter. I was like, oh, finally, I don't have to look at her ass anymore. You know, like, oh, I don't have to like listen to her preach about God knows what, you know, like something that I actually know that she probably doesn't believe in because her photos and everything else says everything other than that, you know.
That's important.
Yeah,
that's really important.
Yeah,
Nicole, I think we were up to you.
Yeah, well, and then just to, like, kind of continue on that, I think as women, or maybe even men do it, but, like, I think as women, we don't just do it with, like, our bodies. We do it with our careers. We do it with our homes. We do it with our parenting. Like,
with our kids.
Yeah, everything is compare. You know what I mean? Everything's comparing. Like, I don't think I do it as much. I get jealous with the workout stuff, like, not because of someone's body, but because they have more. Maybe I think they have more time, and that's probably not the case. But I think I do it more with like business stuff too. I see like everybody's doing this and that, and it looks so awesome. And I'm like, I literally don't have the time for this now. And not even saying like being that I don't have the time. It's like, I really don't have the friggin' time to do everything I would love to do. And that like pisses me off so much. Or like people posting about their kids, like, my kid played in the snow for 4 hours. What? I couldn't get one of my kids in a snowsuit. She's like, no way.
That's so funny you say that.
My kid's playing in the snow for 4 hours. And then I'm like, well, because that's not realistic. But you know what I'm saying? It went through my head for a minute. And then I felt guilty for even comparing.
Yeah.
So Nicole, that literally happened, that exact thing. This week I got up, my kids had a snow day. And then later that day, a mom I know posted pictures. She's like, you know, hashtag snow day and pictures of all the kids playing in the snow. I'm like, oh my gosh, it was a 2 hour delay. It wasn't even a snow day.
Yeah.
My kids literally slept in it till the last second, like they do every other day. Now I had 2 hours more sleep. And we're still like running out the door to the bus. And meanwhile, her kids like had like built an igloo.
Yeah.
I was like, what is my problem? It never even occurred to me to wake them up and be like, hey, go play in the snow.
Yeah, no, it's true. You feel like, you know, I mean, Griffin went out for a little while and I like ran out there in my slippers and gave him blueberries for the snowman, snapped a pic like I was doing something. Most of the time I was watching him.
Now the jig is up.
But you feel like, oh my gosh, I gotta go take a picture. I've gotta get this memory, like memories.
Yeah.
It's true. Anywho, oh, God. Sorry. Clearly, I'm about to have a nervous moment.
Right here, live on the podcast.
I mean, I'm planning to go to the gym at 12, but I might just go get a cocktail. I don't know.
Could go either way.
No, I'm going to the gym.
I'm coming to Danvers. I'm going to bring you some wine.
Yes.
I thought you were going to say you were going to go work out with her.
No.
Not that Bye. Kind of support.
No. Oh my God, that's so good.
Back to the topic of the podcast.
Yeah.
One of my biggest mistakes was always just focusing on total calories and not focusing on where those calories would come from. Like my magic number was always 1,200, and I used to track it in Excel. And then I would add up all the food and then I would put in the calories that I thought I burned at my workout. And then the difference was like my deficit for the day. And if I had a good deficit, then I was happy, like regardless if I was like starving or satisfied and I was eating crap food. So that was like, I would say once I realized the power of food and how what you eat can mean the difference between like being miserable and losing fat and being okay and losing fat and being able to sustain that, that was a huge eye opener for me.
Mm. Yeah. Oh man, that resonates so much with me. Like tracking macros to track macros and not like eating for health.
Yeah.
Like I was like sugar free, calorie free. Like what was I even eating? I was just eating like chemicals and red dye number 40 and like, oh God. No wonder why, like, you know, in your gut is just like, fuck you. Destroyed. Like, it's so mad at you. Yeah. Yeah. I was like eating protein bars, like, because I was like, oh, like, look at all the fiber and like, meh. And my body was like, God, no, this is not what I want. I want real food. And that's actually something I've only, like, probably within the past 2 years really, really started to realize, like, oh, wow, the quality of the food I eat actually matters a lot more than I used to.
Your food always looks so good, Sam. I always want to come to your house and eat. Whenever you post food, I'm like, what in the world is she eating now?
Oh, well, you're more than welcome to come over anytime. My food, I won't say it's aesthetic, like all those cool Instagram people, but...
Yeah, I'm not saying it's beautiful, but it looks delicious.
Yeah,
that sounds good.
I think now, though, I prioritize it because my food used to taste like shit. Because it was just full of crap, you know? But, yeah, you know, live and you learn.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's worth eating more calories to fuel your body better, you know?
Yeah.
I used to think, like, the smallest amount of food is always the best option when it's, you know, even if it left me unsatisfied or... it left me feeling like crap. I was like, well, at least it's not 100 calories more. Like that sucks.
I so get that feeling, Sam. I know exactly what you mean. And in reality, like you may have ended up eating less calories total overall for the day if you just had like a big delicious meal that actually satisfied you when you wanted it rather than being like, I've got 300 calories for this meal, no more.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh my God, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably. And did you guys ever eat small meals instead of just like eating one big meal and getting full and satisfied?
Yes.
Oh gosh. All the way up till really recently.
Same. Just to stoke your metabolism all day. You can eat small meals.
For sure. Yeah. I definitely believed that at one point, but even after like, I'm like, all right, that's just a myth for me. Like I was just always like a picker, like a snacker. And so, you know, you only have a certain number of calories to use. Right. And so I would kind of use them in these little bits and pieces. And it's been really way more recent that I've been like, you know what, I'm just going to have a couple of big meals and I do like it better for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I enjoy it.
I do too. I think for me, the biggest thing is like feeling like, okay, if I have three big meals or whatever it is, usually it's three for me, then I can add ketchup to my potatoes and not feel like crap. I can't add ketchup and make it taste real, you know, it's like those little things, but that is really like what gives you like even mental like satiety, like you feel satisfied after your meal because you're like, yes, I just like ate everything I wanted, like there's like this abundance almost, like, oh okay, like I'm good, rather than like skimping on whether it be portions or whether it be like, oh, I'm having a little bit heavier pour of salad dressing just to make this taste a little better, you know. I used to always put very limited stuff on my food, just like, you know, egg whites, spinach, quinoa. Like, that is disgusting to me now. I'm like, no, I need, like, sauces and cheese and, you know, like, I'm putting all these things on because I can.
Yeah.
And it prevents me from, like, binge eating later on because I didn't give myself the permission to eat it in the first place.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point, too, is that I think so many people didn't realize, like, how high-calorie-dense salads could be, and that sometimes a salad at a restaurant is, like, the same calories as a cheeseburger. Mm. But then I think the salad got so much hate because of that, that people are like, you know, don't get the salad at restaurants because it's so high calorie. But at the end of the day, just get what you feel like. And sometimes I don't care. Sometimes I like a 900 calorie salad. It's friggin' delicious.
Yeah.
And I could have had a cheeseburger, but I didn't want a cheeseburger. I wanted the salad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You yeah. know? It's like the permission piece, I think.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's something I've only need
permission. It doesn't yeah. have to be the cool thing on IG.
Yeah. Yeah.
It can just be what you want.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like eliminating the word should. That's something I've been doing myself a lot. And I hadn't, that's something I just always was like, oh, I should go do cardio. I should mm-hmm. keep increasing the weight, even if it doesn't feel good. Like I should, I don't even know, like the craziest stuff. And so,
what do you do now? Do you like, when you hear that word, like catch yourself and yeah. like ask yourself, why should I?
Yep. Exactly. Like anytime I'm like, oh, I should probably not eat this, or I should go run, or like, oh God, I should lift today. I actually have just been like, if I said that, then I probably won't do it. I'll like do, mm-hmm. I try to like, I've been practicing like, okay, let me just do the opposite, or not the opposite, but you know, just giving myself permission to not do that.
What would be the opposite of lifting today?
sitting. And you know, what's funny? So this exact thing happened to me today. I went to the gym because I was like, oh, I should go lift. And I did go to the gym, but I didn't lift. And it was, I just did some band work and I ran for 5 minutes and I stretched and I did some pull-ups and I left. And I was like, oh, that was so nice. I didn't beat my body into the ground. Yeah. So
good
I think
for you, Sam.
That kind of goes back to the thing I mentioned earlier about like more is not better. It's just like
yeah.
listening to your body.
More. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a hard one for people because more always feels like it's going to be better, right?
Yeah.
And until it doesn't and it feels like too much.
Yeah, then you break in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for yeah. sure. All right, are we going around one more time?
Yeah, I think, who is it me, actually? I don't even know.
I don't even know. Let's go with yes. Yes, it's you.
Okay, we'll do that. I think a big one is like if you mess up, not letting that spiral into a week or a month or whatever, like worth of feeling like total shit or like you messed up.
Or eating shit.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Like, whether it be, like, a snack turns into a meal, turns into a whole day of eating, like, crap, and then a week, and, you know, or, like, oh, I missed a workout, oh, I missed two, oh, God, well, fuck it, I'm just not going to go to the gym at all. Mm-hmm. So kind of getting out of that all-or-nothing mentality and just giving myself a break and getting on track, like, the next, you know, next meal, next workout, next day, whatever. So seeing
that's it, such a
seeing
common
that,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
What helped you, like, make that switch in your brain?
I think the biggest thing, I read this somewhere, I have no idea where, so props to whoever said this, was if you mess up during the day, like say I had a bad breakfast, right? Typically in the past, I would have like had my lunch be like shit, my dinner like shit. I probably would have like ate, I don't know, 2 or 3 times the amount of calories I needed because I mm-hmm. felt like I had messed up. But someone, they talked about breaking up the day into 4 quarters. So like, okay, you messed up the first quarter. That's okay. Like just because you pop, like just because you have a tire out on your car doesn't mean you need to, you know, like stab a hole in all the other 3 tires. Mm-hmm. And so I thought of it like that. Like I'm not going to sabotage the rest of my meals or my day just because I messed up once. And that really like put it in perspective. Like why would I continue to go down that road? You know? And mm-hmm. It was mostly in my head, me telling myself like, oh, well, I messed up. So just got to keep going.
Yeah. That's all in our heads.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that analogy of like thinking of the day in like a pie chart, like 4 quarters and seeing it like, okay, even if there's like a red quarter, if the other 3 quarters are green, that's good. Or maybe there's just 2 reds and 2 greens, but at least it's not 4 red.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really good. I like that a lot.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I think that whole issue you just brought up, Sam, is one that's like kind of what we talked about back at the beginning, like some mistakes you just have to make on your own and some you make over and over. I find that that's one that my clients, and I personally did it too, make over and over and over until it clicks. Like that you keep going back to this whole, like, I screwed up. Like, I did it over and over. I have clients who do it over and over, and we have to work to remind them, like, you didn't screw up. And as soon as you get back on track, you're back on track, and it's good. Mm-hmm. But it takes, I think it for most people, it takes repeated messing up with that till you can finally make it click in your head.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Nicole, what about you?
You know what? Like, I don't even know if this is a mess up, but one thing I wish I never did was like always tell people, like back in the day, if I was on a new diet, like, okay, am I trying Shakeology? Am I going to spin? Am I tracking macros? Like, granted, I do this for a living. However, that's different. Like, people who find me online are looking for this information. And I think talking about like nutrition and workouts with like friends and family, I just, you know, people are so passionate about food, like nutrition and their health. And I want them to be that. But also, there's so much misinformation out there that people say really stupid friggin' shit. And I just wish, like, like it was never brought up. And do you know what I mean? Like, there's, how many people have you known who, like, get on a new diet and they're like, friggin' keto! And they just want to scream from the rooftops and they want to tell everybody and they want to sell, like, overpriced shakes. And I totally get it. But it's like, I wish personally that I never like ever talked about any sort of like personal stuff that I was doing, because everybody wants to put their two cents in and then you just get annoyed with people. And if you're an introvert like me, that's just like not good if you're trying to work on
it. So yeah. not talking about your personal nutrition.
Yeah.
Unless someone asks you.
Yeah. From a friend's family perspective, like if you really want to talk about it, like you get to like find someone who like, you know, is a safe place to talk about it, because if you don't, you get all this like unwanted advice, criticism that just kind of puts you in a negative state. Because like, how many times I can count so many times that I've been happy or pleased with someone, and then someone comes back and says, well, you shouldn't do it that way because so-and-so, blah, blah, blah. And it just kind of like puts you, even if it's not true, it just kind of like puts you in a bad mental state. And then you've got people like, well, why aren't you eating? Or blah, why don't you eat this? Like, stop depriving. You know what I mean? Like, I just think like keeping some stuff to yourselves and like yourself and only talking about it to like certain people rather than trying to scream it from the rooftops is like something back in the day I wish I never did.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. I think also it's like, no one cares, you know, no one cares what you're eating. and if like you want to talk about it, then they're just going to criticize you or like make a comment on it, and you're like, I don't care what you think, so actually I'm gonna just keep eating the same thing.
No one cares that you're vegan, Jenny.
No one cares that you drink celery juice.
No one cares.
It's also like having enough awareness to be like, oh, actually, like, I'm not the most important person in the world. What? Like, why doesn't everyone care about what I'm eating?
Why doesn't everybody want to know exactly why I've set my plate up just like that? Wait, they're not asking. I should probably just volunteer the information.
Exactly. Oh, God. Do we have time for one more? Or a few more?
Yeah, I can go again. I haven't gotten it.
Okay.
In a while. Okay, so ego lifting was a really big one for me. So lifting more than I had any right to be lifting. And it doesn't even have to be with big lifts. I'm not even necessarily talking about squat, bench, and deadlift. Just like trying to like row some ridiculous amount of weight that I was really not rowing. I was using like literally every muscle in my body besides my back to get that weight up. And I think it's super common and super tempting because you want to get the big weights up and you want to be like, oh, I can do this. But it takes so much, I don't know, I guess self-control to say, like, I'm not even getting the training effect I want if I do that. So I did that for a really long time. I did that for years.
Yeah.
I remember actually with squat, I did remember I took all the weight back off and started with, like, I think it was like 100 pounds because I thought my squat, I had gotten it up pretty high, but I was like not even close to parallel. So
I did. I mean, I did that. I made. I did that like last week. I made that mistake.
It's pretty common.
Yeah. Like, I totally like put more weight on the bar that I should have been snatching, and I mean, my daughter rested her head on my trap last week, and I thought I was going to cry. So for like 4 days. So like clearly, I'm still making that mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like, I mean, sad enough. Like, I think it's a lot to do with like just being humble, you know, like humbling yourself to the gym and the experience of like change and like lifting. Like, lifting is so humbling because it doesn't like the weights don't care if you're having a good day or a bad day, or like they don't care if you've had a lot of food to like have energy, or like they don't care about that. Like, they're just there. And it's like,
care that I didn't sleep last night because I had 15 hot flashes.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and it sucks, but it's the truth. So, yeah. And I mean, that's coming back to my injury too. Like, I was like, no, I can pick this up. I've done it before. Blah blah blah.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, Sam, today's not the day to be a hero. You know, like.
Totally get that. Totally get it.
Okay. Do we have any more that we can think of that are like big ones? I think these are all like really good, especially like mindset wise, you know, because at the end of the day, that's kind of where it all stems from.
Yeah.
I
have one more big one if somebody else doesn't want to go. Like I told you.
Yeah, do it. Do it. Do it.
It was so off the top of my head. I just, right before we got on the call here, I just like blew out a list. I looked for quick fixes instead of trying to educate myself about nutrition and training for so many years.
Yeah.
Such a long time. And it never ended well. It always ended with me gaining the weight back. But a quick fix just always felt better because I needed the weight off then. Like, I just needed to do it now and I can learn stuff later. I don't need to know why right now. I just, somebody tell me what to do to get this weight off.
Yeah. But then later you never learn. And it all
later was
back.
Never.
There was no later. 20
years. Later happened like 20 years. And when it finally happened, it wasn't because of a quick fix. It was because I finally took the time to educate myself.
Yeah.
So that was a big one.
And I think that goes probably hand in hand too with like the goal should be the process, right? Like, and like just finding a sustainable thing, because at the end of the day, like that's really all there is, or else you're just going to keep going back to that same place again.
Yeah.
Like finding what's sustainable, like, oh, can you eat that many, or can you eat that little calories consistently? Like, you can probably do it for a week or two, but then after that, you're probably going to go cray cray, you know, and just like go off the deep end. And so sacrificing like immediate results for long-term benefit and just overall health, even God,
and mental health.
Yeah. 100%. Cool.
We've made a lot of mistakes. That's what I learned today.
I know. And I still have like 20 more I could probably like talk about, like, but
we can do a part two someday.
Yeah.
Well, we'll definitely need a part two, because I feel like a lot of people who will listen to this will be like, oh yeah, girl. Like, well, you know.
I'm going to join you for that bottle of wine. Wine Wednesdays with Kim, Nicole, and Sam.
Isn't it Tuesday?
Oh, shit. Yeah. See? Crap.
That didn't have quite the same ring.
Yeah, no kidding. It's okay. That's how the week's going.
Okay, my oatmeal exploded in my microwave in my office this morning, and I was like, wham, that's my day is going.
Remember, think of it in quarters. It was just the morning, you know?
That was just the first quarter. You're in the second quarter now, and it started with us, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, what's better than that?
But, I'm going to go crush it at the gym. So.
Yeah, go do some pull-ups.
Hey, text us when you're done.
Okay. Oh, accountability.
Let us know you went to the gym.
I'll send you a selfie with my glass of wine. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not really going to drink wine. But now you've just got me onto this wine thing.
I know. Well, you know, wine has to be at, like, nighttime. So.
Yeah. It's probably for the best.
Not in the first quarter.
Yeah. Last quarter only.
Q4 with the wine.
All right, ladies.
Oh, God. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for sharing. I think this was pretty helpful.
I think so, too.
Awesome. Hope you guys have an awesome rest of your day.
You too. Catch you later.
Okay. Bye.
And that wraps it up for this episode of the Decades of Strength podcast. Thank you so much for being here. I hope you learned something. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you did, it would mean so much to me if you would leave a rating and review. It really does help to get this podcast in front of other people. Thanks again for being here.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.